Lois Lowry was 40 when her first book for children was published. It was called A Summer to Die, and it's about the death of a young girl. She's also written for kids about the Holocaust. But The Giver, which she published 20 years ago, really touched nerves, winning the Newbery Award, selling millions of copies, and getting banned by school after school around the country. The Giver is about a town where everything's pretty perfect. Everybody has enough food, a job, a nice home. People are cheerful, well-behaved, don't argue or act weird. Then a boy named Jonas learns how that peace and order is accomplished with pills that suppress emotion and by discreetly terminating the people who don't fit in or aren't useful. Lois Lowry has returned to that perfectly sinister community in a fourth book in the series called Son. Lois Lowry, welcome to Studio 360.
Hi there. Thank you.
It's an interesting fourth in a series because it's in addition to being a sequel and the end of this series, it also exists in parallel time with the first book.
Yes, and the two intervening books exist in the same time but in different locations. So the boy, Jonas, does appear in those two books, but then finally in the fourth book, Son, he takes on a major role, and now, of course, he's a grown man.
It seems to be one giant book that you've published in four volumes over 20 years.
That's a long time, 20 years.
Yeah.
And I guess it could be published in a giant book, but maybe at some point they'll put it in a box and it will be a boxed set.
So the children in this community are assigned their permanent jobs at age 12 in a public ceremony, and then they're done with their birth families. At the beginning of Son, a girl is assigned to the job of birth mother. I want to listen to a little bit of the story there.
The next day, she walked alone to the dormitory attached to the birthing unit and moved into the small bedroom she was assigned. From its window, she could see the school she had attended and the recreation field beyond. In the distance, there was a glimpse of the river that bordered the community. Finally, several weeks later, after she was settled in and beginning to make friends among the other girls, she was called in for insemination. Not knowing what to expect, she had been nervous, but when the procedure was complete, she felt relieved. It had been quick and painless. "Is that all?" she had asked in surprise, rising from the table when the technician gestured that she should. "That's all. Come back next week to be tested and certified." She had laughed nervously. She wished that they had explained everything more clearly in the instruction folder they had given her when she was selected. "What does certified mean?" she asked. The worker, putting away the insemination equipment, seemed a little rushed. There were probably others waiting. "Once they're sure it's implanted," he explained impatiently, "then you're a certified vessel." "Anything else?" he asked her as he turned to leave. "No? You're free to go, then." That all seemed such a short time ago. Now here she was, 9 months later, with the blindfold strapped around her eyes. The discomfort had started some hours before, intermittently. Now it was nonstop. She breathed deeply as they had instructed. It was difficult, blinded like this. Her skin was hot inside the mask. She tried to relax, to breathe in and out, to ignore the discomfort. "No," she thought, "it is pain. It really is pain." Gathering her strength for the job, she groaned slightly, arched her back, and gave herself up to the darkness. Her name was Claire. She was 14 years old.
That is from Lois Lowry's new novel, Son, which is the last book in her Giver series. So when you were writing the first book and decided that these birth mothers would be impregnated at 14, did you think, here's a good way to rile up people? You could have made them 18.
I could have. But I write for kids, and kids want to read about other kids. They don't want to read about 18-year-olds when they themselves are 12. So I will say, though, I never in writing sit down and think, oh, what will rile people up?
Right.
It just is beyond my radar. I do think what would make a good story, and this does, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, as I said in the outset, The Giver has been banned and have been banned from various schools. And that is always mentioned in articles about it and its success and you as if it's this great red badge of courage. How do you feel about that?
When it began to happen, it so took me by surprise because There seemed to me nothing bannable in this book.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, maybe there are things that are shocking, but they're not shocking in a way that's gross or well, I started to say not frightening, but of course the whole concept is frightening because it's the concept of what we could become.
Right.
And that's a little sinister.
And there's a famously horrific scene of an importantly so in the first book of a baby being mm-hmm. put to death.
An extraneous child, yeah. They feel the book is too dark and sinister and frightening. And I sympathize with that. I had kids and I have grandchildren, and I would like to protect them from everything in the world. But in honesty, I do think that literature is a way that kids can explore what they're going to have to face when they're older, and they can do it safely. But by and large, the challenges have begun to die away because there are other books out there now. This was the first really utopian, dystopian book for young people. There are now many, many others, and some of them are so filled with violence.
So The Hunger Games has overtaken you as something that offends people?
Some people, I guess.
Yeah.
And I confess myself, I'm troubled by the violence in The Hunger Games, the fact that it's a story about children killing children. I find that kind of appalling, though I can see why kids love it. It's a fast-paced adventure story.
Yeah.
And, you know, in recent days, we've all thought more and become aware more of how kids are so inured to violence.
Inured to fictional violence.
Games and movies.
Yeah.
And speaking of movies, I've just heard within the past couple of days that this book, The Giver, that they've been trying to make into a movie for 15 years is finally on the road.
Really?
They have producers and money and a director and a star, and so I'm hoping they hope to start shooting it in the spring.
Congratulations. We've got a scoop. Who is the star?
Well, the star is Jeff Bridges playing the title role, and as we speak, they're interviewing young boy actors for the role of Jonas.
And the title role in The Giver is this older man who knows all of the history that the rest of the community has sort of put out of its consciousness, has erased.
Yeah. All the dark secrets.
Which is, to me, the most interesting and original part of your dystopian vision because, among other things, it's resonant with what one can see in the real world, a kind of ahistorical forgetfulness, right?
Certainly there has been a lot of that in the past, and it brings to mind those people still who, the Holocaust deniers, who suggest that such things have never happened and would like us to forget it and stop talking about it.
You didn't start writing fiction until you had a family and raised your kids up somewhat until your late 30s. How did that happen? Was that a burning desire you'd always had?
Yeah, I had gone to Brown to major in writing, but it was the 50s, and in those days it was not unusual for a woman. We called ourselves girls at that time.
And we do again, somehow. Somehow
oh, really?
Women call themselves girls once again, yeah.
Oh, okay. Glad to hear that. At any rate, I was a girl still when my boyfriend graduated. And so I dropped out and we got married. I had a baby when I was 21, a baby when I was 22, a baby when I was 24, a baby when I was 25. So I had no time to pursue either further studies or writing, which had been my interest. And when my youngest child went to kindergarten, I went back to college. It took me 4 years to complete the two that I needed for a bachelor's degree. And then I went to graduate school, and all that time beginning to write at the same time. But that's why it took me so long.
You were an Army brat. You married a naval officer. Did that military life shape your outlook, do you think, as a writer?
I think growing up in the military, and I was by nature a shy and introverted child, and growing up in the military meant that I moved frequently, and I was always the new kid in school, or it felt that I always was. And I was tentative about making friends. I think that made me the thing a writer needs to be, and a very observant person, an introspective person, and a person who read a lot. So that served me well, I think. The fact that I then married into the military was just a coincidence, and then the fact that one of my sons became a military officer, also just a coincidence. But I will say that in writing about this community and The Giver, I did draw on my memories of Army posts, where we lived by rules and regulations, and the days were very orderly, and every evening at 5 o'clock, all of us, wherever we were, stood at attention as the flag was lowered each evening.
The sacrifice of young men is a theme in these books. The character Maddie, who dies fighting evil, and in the new book.
Well, that's a spoiler. Now you ruined book three for everybody.
Oh, well.
Only kidding.
And in this new book, I won't spoil anything, that the main character Gabe is set out for a battle that he's perhaps not entirely prepared for. You mentioned your son, the Air Force officer who died in his airplane 17 years ago. Has the pain of that infused these books?
Well, that's an interesting question. Certainly, you never recover from something like that. That pain is always there. I think I was not aware of this when I was writing this book, but one of the major themes of this book is the fact that this young girl, Claire, from whom the baby, as soon as it's born, is taken, spends the entire, I think, 400 pages of this book searching for her lost son. So I think the yearning of a mother for a child who is gone and who's lost is there and comes from my own experience.
Well, as I was reading this book, I thought it's called Son. I thought, well, this could just as easily be called Mother.
The working title, not surprisingly, was Birth Mother. I realized, and if I hadn't realized it, the publisher would have pointed it out to me, no boy is going to pick up and read, much less buy, a book called Birth Mother. And, of course, these books are books that appeal to adolescent boys as well as girls. So I changed the title before they made me change the title.
I like the idea, though, of 12 adolescent boys and girls getting a sense from an adventure novel of this profound parent-child bond that they're aware of if they're lucky, but maybe never think about and certainly don't see depicted in YA fiction very often.
That's interesting. I think it's true, and I've been guilty of it myself, I think, that often writers of books for kids try to get rid of the parents. They want to focus on the kids, the peer groups, the relationships of the same ages. There are many, many books in which the parents have sadly died in a car accident, or in the case of James and the Giant Peach.
Yes, happily died. Yes, Roald Dahl specialized in getting rid of bad parents.
Yes, yeah, and I did too in one book of mine called The Willoughbys, where the kids actually do away with the parents, but in a way that's quite amusing, in my opinion.
We never, not to be a spoiler, but in this book, there is a touch of ambiguity about exactly what's going to happen. There are hints that big change is afoot. That was a deliberate effort to leave some threads untied, I guess, on your part.
Well, I don't know if you're a fan of Homeland, as I have been.
Yes, I have been.
But Homeland on TV has just completed its second season, and its final episode leaves one thinking, oh, they wrapped everything up. And then you think, oh, but wait, they didn't. There's still... And I guess this book does the same thing.
Well, Homeland, of course, there's going to be a third season and probably a fourth and a fifth. But you're really not going to write a fifth book, are you?
I'm really not. And I think sometimes these TV series tend to go on too long.
Yes.
For reasons that you can understand, because
yes,
they make a lot of money for them. And I think sometimes book series go on too long. But I'm finished with this, and that may partly because I'm 75 years old. I don't have that many more years left to do this, and there are other things I want to explore.
Lois Lowry, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Lois Lowry's new book is called Son, and it's the conclusion of The Giver Quartet. Our reading from the book was by Krista Ripple.